Hello everybody, this is Salil Tripathi from the Institute for Human Rights Business, and I'm here today in London with Mona Ansari, who is a commissioner at the National Human Rights Commission of Nepal. Welcome to our podcast, Mona. My first question really is that in terms of the business and human rights agenda, what are the key issues that you face as a commissioner in Nepal?
The main key issues are in Nepal now is inclusion, women and children, migration, Dalit and indigenous are facing a lot of challenges. Indigenous peoples are like being displaced from their own ancestors' land and to the different areas. Also is a transitional justice.
And this is because of the long period of conflict.
Yeah, 10 years internal conflict and another 13 years of constitution making process, transitional phase, political transition. I can say is a political stability has been just started. But there's still a lot of things you need to address, like access to justice, transitional justice, institutional reform.
And what has been the role that companies have played? Were they contributing to the conflict? Were they benefiting from the conflict? Were they supporting the government? Were they supporting the peace process? What did companies do? And were these companies from abroad or Nepali companies or from the region like India?
Those who are like receiving support from international organization, for example, like DFID, USAID, they respect a lot, like German support, Swiss development. They support a lot of business and human rights, rule of law, and access to justice scenario, like environment, other issues. But those are like owning a private business and private companies. They are not fully respecting standard of human rights or standard of business norms and all those things.
So how does it work? Is it the Nepali civil society which demands that they respect rights? Is it the government? Or do you from the Human Rights Commission have conversations or dialogue with them?
Very less conversation with these private companies or private institutions. We have like a business sector organization called Federation of Business Association and a Chamber of Commerce. We do have a very often dialogue with them, but not a fully engaged dialogue. We require the fully engaged dialogue with them. And also civil society are very much vocal on talking this issue. And we have, a vibrant media society who always raise a question on social corporate responsibility. Or especially media is reporting social issue, human rights issues, and community who is regularly facing a challenge and violence. Their issues also covered, but not very much covered. Like nowadays, if you read a Nepali newspaper, there you will read a lot of untouchability and human rights violations. And a lot of freedom of expression issues, multi-faith, interfaith group have been facing a challenge because of Nepal is known as a Hindu-dominated country. But now, after 2007 constitution, it turned to the secular state. And now it is a remain continue a secular state. But being a practice of bureaucrats and other politicians, I never found their behavior is to transforming through the Hindu to secular. It is always protected one religion, one faith, one community. The state protection need to be equal required for everyone. So talking about the Human Rights Commission, how we work with these all groups, of course, I can say it's not much engaged, but to some extent we are closely working with this group.
Now, you mentioned the transitional justice, which is, of course, a post-conflict situation, and land becomes very contentious at that time, and companies need land, and indigenous communities also have land. So how do those issues get resolved? Do they use the court? Do they come to the Human Rights Commission? Do you individually take up complaints? How do you handle equitable distribution?
It's a land issue is a long pending issue in Nepal, and a lot of landmark decision came through Supreme Court. And if you see lot of complaint, we receive and lot of complaint is launched in the police and government, other organization. It's a forced eviction issues on a land. And it's a road expansion is one of the biggest challenge for us in Nepal. And Supreme Court has made a very good decision to provide them sufficient compensation, because there is a discrimination, huge discrimination in compensation also.
And the discrimination is based on what, religion, caste, how is it?
City people receive a much, a capital, villager receive a less. Due to the price, is a, in a city, prices are high. But in a city, if you see, it's a lot of indigenous people live in a city. Now they are moving from city to another city without, like, a women are more poor. They can't open a bank account because their husbands are in abroad, be in a migrant worker. So if they're losing the land, they can't go easily to open the bank to, because they don't have a sufficient personal identification, like citizenship issues, marriage registration. These documents are very essential, and it is a tie-up with the husbands or maybe in-laws. These are the very challenging issues nowadays, and it need to be sought out on in a legal basis, of course, and human right also is like an important part of that. Human Rights Commission, we receive an individual's complaint, we do Suomoto cases, we do a monitoring. Now we are doing like an investigation on the environment issue. The development is a kind of very, very high demand from the governments. Government never consulted with the local people that they require or not. For example, road expansion is very crucial nowadays.
So the government decides not necessarily with prior consultation of the communities involved.
Yeah, this is the most important issues indigenous people raise. Government must be do informed choice and epic prior consultation with them. Do they, how like issue will generating? They just come, government people, group of people are mobilized, and they just come and without any consent, without any asking them, they just do whatever they want. Right. So this is the core concern that indigenous people are raising. To protect our culture, to protect our heritage, to protect our language, we have some kind of trust. Every community have their regulation, their trust.
And these are autonomous bodies.
These are truly, truly autonomous bodies. Right. And it is ruled by and run by those communities.
So if an investor were to come to invest in Nepal, let's say in tourism sector or hotels, I mean, this is one obvious example that I can think of, or the garment sector, for example, what are the two or three things you would want them to do? What are the three things that you would warn them about human rights, or say that these are the areas that you need to focus the most on?
One is, of course, the environment is nowadays. And second is, if they are starting any business in a local area, they must respect the culture and their indigenous values in a local areas. Because wherever they are starting business inside the country, must be local people also are benefited. But local culture, local communities, faith must be respected in a human rights context. Because government is calling multinational company to come and invest in Nepal. But they are not calling those investors to respect the human right. So this is a government side also need to tell them frankly, Nepal is a part of more than one dozen of treaty signatory part. So what ILO convention said, what UDHR said, what is a force like to respect treaties. So these multinational companies should be priorly informed that Nepal is of course welcoming you. But these are our limitation, and these are things you need to follow
It's a busy period ahead, and you know, you have obviously work cut out for you. It's but also, I mean, you're in a situation where this due diligence can help bring about peace and jobs, and which is probably the starting point. So thank you very much, and all the best with your work.
Thank you so much for having me.